Welcome to What is Going Om for New Thought from the Edge of Om. Each week on Om Time's flagship radio show, veteran broadcaster, author, and media consultant Sandy Sedgbeer conducts thought-provoking interviews with inspirational authors, artists, musicians, scientists, speakers, and filmmakers who are working at the point where spirituality and science meet consciousness at the very edge of Om. Here is your host, Sandy Sedgbeer.
Hello. In the past few years, the world has witnessed changes in social consciousness whose sudden development the current scientific paradigm has not been able to explain. In the words of scientist and philosopher Dr. Carl Johan Kalman, these changes correspond with the activation of new waves of creation emanating from the center of the universe that influence human thinking. From the Big Bang to the present, says Kalman, these waves guide the evolution of the universe, and through their holographic resonance with the human mind, they profoundly shape revolutions in religion, technology, economy, and social consciousness. Tonight, we're going to be assessing what this really means. With me is international teacher, speaker, author, and founder of Mastering Alchemy, Jim Self. Jim's going to explain to us what's really happening on planet Earth right now, how we got here, where we're going, and how to navigate the future with ease and success. Because let's not forget, it's all about you and it's all about me. And where we are in this will dictate how we experience that future. Jim Self, welcome.
Hi, Sandy. It's always nice to be here with you. But I have to giggle at your introduction here a little bit about I'm going to explain how this is going to work. That's kind of that's like a pretty awesome task to be instilled upon. So we'll see what we can do with that.
Well, you've been talking about the waves of change ever since I've known you. I'm sure you're certainly up to the task, if not explaining, at least being able to discuss the possibilities.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, I've heard you say it many, many times, chaos can reign around us, but we do not have to embrace it. Given, you know, the state of where the world is at right now, that's a little bit of a challenging thing to accomplish. And I know that I've had my moments when we've spoken over the past year or so where I've been extremely frustrated with what is happening in the world and our inability sometimes to be able to rise to that place that we all want to get to, where we can see it for what it is. But let's see if we can, you know, help me and our listeners achieve that place of clarity tonight. Let's talk about first where we're at right now. You and I have had some conversations about this, and it's probably very good to lay out what is going on in the universe right now, how that's reflecting within us and our worlds. So I'll let you start.
Well, one of the things that happens is what you experience in your external world is always a direct relationship to what you're experiencing in your internal world.
Yeah.
So the external reflects the internal, and in this shift that we are in, let's just kind of set it up from 2012 being a moment in time where there was a change in the operating system of the computer, if you would. You know, basically you upgrade your system. And humanity, consciousness, it was in 2012 and right now is at that point of shifting. And in this shift, we're moving from a state of being that is in many people's minds still the way it is. It's a fixed place we're in. Duality, separation, domination, control, competition, advantage, greed, fear. Those are just givens in many people's minds as how the world works. But it isn't the only way that the world works. We're now shifting from that state of where that has been very fixed to a state where people generally aspire to, if you say, what would you like it to look like if you could have your world on your terms, people would say happy, respect, dignity, appreciation, co-creation, gratitude, appreciation, kindness, laughter. And so we're moving there. But that in a way is hard to understand or grasp. It's a concept that's wonderful. But my world is like this, is what people will say. And so we're very much in this transition. And one of the pieces in this transition is you cannot take your baggage with you on this journey. And that baggage for each of us individually is very much been created around, I'm not okay. There's something wrong with me. I'm not attractive. I don't fit. I'm never going to succeed. I don't deserve. But the misthought in that process is, yes, that's the baggage you're carrying, but to a great extent, it's not your baggage. Because if you really get right down to it and take a look at it, somebody said to you, here, let me give you this gift. You're not okay. You don't deserve. You're not going to succeed. And what we've all done is accepted it without knowing what else to do. And then we ask the question, what did I do wrong? So the process of getting to the place of recognizing that I'm okay, I didn't really do anything wrong, is very much this transition we're in. And so much of that anger and resentment that's all related to the I'm not okay in an individual space is what you're starting to see in the world around you as the baggage very much coming out. All of this reaction and pushing against control and domination is you're watching that control and domination argue back. And it's a very fascinating time that we're in.
Well, you said to me when we had a conversation recently about how the journey is changing. And, you know, we've all thought that the odds of ourselves, there's so much displacement in the world. I mean, 60 million refugees. That's huge. That's a nation right there. And you've said that the odds of us, you know, being one of them has been pretty remote. But actually, we are being displaced. We're being displaced within ourselves. You know, we're facing uncertainty. We're worried about the future. We're seeing so many structures that we've always relied on just crumble beneath us. And we have no idea what the future holds.
Yeah, you said that very clearly. In the in the Western world, the opportunity for us to be displaced, as is it is occurring in Lebanon or the Middle East or places like that, may not be what we will experience, but what we are experiencing is a major displacement in, as you just said it clearly, from what we have been accepting to something that we are moving into, and it's uncertain in everybody's mind. The piece that is very helpful is to basically recognize that a lot of what you're looking at and reacting to in the world and pushing against and being upset about, as unpleasant and unreasonable as much of it isn't necessarily about you. And so it isn't necessarily your issues. In this space where we are upset about the world, is in a way we're not doing ourselves or the world a service. We're basically spending our attention in places that at that level we can't influence. I can't influence what's going on in Lebanon as an individual right here. But what I can begin to recognize is how do I hold myself in an alignment that I can begin to navigate my world. And in that process of navigating my world, create a balance that might be available to other people to begin to emulate. And that's the space that I think we're in right now. I watch so many people in this spiritual community worldwide that are basically starting to say, how do I create it the way I want it, and then invite people into that rather than arguing with and pushing against what's out there and trying to change them to do something that I would like them to do to make me comfortable.
Well, I think there are so many influences at work that, you know, we look at what's in front of us and we say, oh, it's because, you know, Britain's got Brexit, you know, America's got Trump, and we're not looking at the bigger picture. I mean, certainly the reason I quoted Kalaman at the front, because his book, his trilogy of books about the global mind, is absolutely fascinating and makes a lot of sense to me. And of course, we are part of the global mind. And as much as it is informing us, we are also informing it. But one of the things that he wrote about in that, I mean, he, you know, obviously he's a Mayan calendar expert, and he's looked at the Mayan calendar and been able to use it to predict many, many things. And he was the first person to say, hey, everybody, you know, it doesn't mean what you think it means for 2012. But one of the things that he said, he talked about the long night, which is a 400-year period. And he said some years back that this current long night is coming to an end. At the beginning of it, the power, all of the power in the world began to really mushroom in the West. You know, England, America, etc., they really began to thrive and grow. And now they're coming to an end. And the era of the English and the American empires, you know, like all empires, are going to start dissipating. And of course, that's exactly what we're seeing. Right. What we're not necessarily understanding is the bigger picture behind that. And some of it, you know, you talk about the waves of change, some of it are changes that are being ushered in by those. But also, you know, it's what we're reflecting back at the world that is causing some of that too.
Yes, very much so. In this set of changes, in one hand, we are seeing as we're pushing against, we're arguing with. But on the other hand, what I watch, what makes sense to me, is when you as an individual can kind of find balance and basically recognize that these waves, these changes, these movements forward and back are all occurring, but a great majority of what you're watching has nothing to do with you at all. So kind of take your attention point out of some of that and bring you into balance. And in that place where you start to find balance, you start to see some really amazing changes that are unfolding along this bigger path that is going to create a new humanity, a new evolution of the world in a way that is absolutely stunning. So there's a big positive as well as a negative. We get caught looking at the negative to too much of an extent, I think, sometimes.
Oh, I agree with that. And it's so interesting. There are so many theories being put forward about, you know, why the world is as it is today. Well, you know, everybody who listens to this show regularly knows that I'm a big fan of astrology. I've studied it for many, many, many years, initially to try and disprove it, and I couldn't. And one of the astrologers who I think is consistently excellent is Eric Francis at planetwaves.net. And he used to be an investigative journalist. And so he's very thorough in the work that he does. And he produces really interesting commentaries on what is going on in the world today, bringing in astrology, but also bringing in much else. And he wrote something back in 2016 when everybody was concerned about the election and was, you know, their jaws were dropping with some of the things that were happening back then. He wrote a really good overview of how we got to where we are and what digital technology is actually doing that we're not aware of. And that's something I'd really like us to talk about, because I know that you have been looking at some future technology, which is also very interesting to discuss, which we'll get to a little bit later in the show. But one of the things that Eric Francis has said, and if I can just find some notes, you know, he was talking about the media as creating deep disorientation of intellect and destabilizing of culture throughout the world. You know, disembodied communication is distorting and transforming our minds and our bodies. Do you have anything to add to that?
I do. I think that's very much accurate. One of the things that I started watching back in about 1988, it just began to just catch my attention in terms of how the news was shifting, and or how the media communication was shifting. But specifically in terms of news, it used to be that you'd get this little snippet of basically as factual information as it could be. There is this going on, there was this event, there was an accident, this is the number of people were hurt, and it happened last night. What began to happen in about 1988 is you started to see this amplification of kind of a hysterical relationship to the news. Amping it up and like, oh my God, this is really a terrible expression or experience that's happening. And then it would be fixed for about a week, and it would be on the topic of, let's say, AIDS. And then the next week it would amp up about Somalia. And then the next week it would be a different topic. And what happened is it began to be something that activated in the nervous system of the body a expression of fear or distress, and then it would not be completed. It would not have a sense of death to it, where there was a sorrow and then a evolution of the emotional field into balance, or it would not be then amped back down to where you could say, well, that was scary, but I'm glad it's okay. It was left at a place where you were scared or you had a sense of fear in your space, and then it was not answered. And then it moved to the next one and the next one and the next one. And the nervous system began to become numb to the expression of this scary, blasted sense of fear, and then didn't have an answer to it. The adaption of the nervous system was to simply numb out. And since that period of time, the information doesn't last a week. It doesn't talk about the problem for a week. It has gotten into smaller and smaller and smaller chunks. And so now it's to the point where you see a very uncomfortable situation as a tweet, and then it's not spoken to again. So the conditioning in the media expression, and it's really a much more than the media, it's what's behind the media, basically leaves the human being in looking at information in a very distorted place.
Yeah, indeed. Jim, I'm just going to hold it right there while we go to break. You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and with me today is international teacher, speaker, author of What Do You Mean the Third Dimension is Going Away? And a course in Mastering Alchemy, Jim Self. We're talking about what's really going on planet Earth right now, how we got where we are, the possibilities in front of us, and how to navigate the future with grace and ease. We'll be back after this break.
The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free AscendingHearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Hi, this is New Age Grammy winner Paul Avgerinos. Thanks for listening to Om Times Radio, and please support my peaceful healing music with a purchase at iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you shop for fine music. Just put my name into the search engine, Paul Avgerinos, A, V like Victor, G like George, E-R-I-N-O-S. You can also visit me at roundskymusic.com. Thanks for listening, and I'm wishing you the brightest of blessings.
I'm Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo.
We were a loving family, and then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day.
People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at EmbraceRefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Jim, I just want to add another little piece that was in this report from Eric Francis. When he talked about cohesion, he said that cohesion is one of the things that's lacking under digital conditions. Any relationship of one thing to another can also be seen as a fabrication or conspiracy theory rather than as an actual connection, which means that we're being trained to separate ourselves from our reality. So that one result of that is that the sense of self is disembodied, and the internet is inducing a society-wide out-of-body experience. This is a lot more important than it might sound.
Yes. Yeah, it's very important. And what you're watching is a disconnect between people and themselves. You know, this isn't new, but you look at all the studies around Facebook and how people, just kids particularly, they're just on it all the time to see what somebody else thinks of them, or am I being perceived in an okay manner? And it really has taken that sense of a little kid in my reality and many people's realities. You know, I grew up and my mother would say, be home for dinner, you know, and it was 10 o'clock in the morning. And so my life was spent exploring the woods and the creeks and, you know, and things like that. That doesn't happen to kids today. Yeah. They are in that 5-minute zone of what do they think of me now? And that's a huge distortion and separation from that point of identity. I think where I said earlier is you get back into a place of balance, there is an aspect of this level of consciousness that's very positive, that is going to allow people to reconnect with themselves in some very fascinating ways. I think from a positive standpoint, as a result of this negative experience that is what we're perceiving as kind of destroying that sense of selfness of an individual.
Yeah, and I think one of the important things to get across is, you know, we're not necessarily knocking progress or technology, because, you know, our relationship with all of these things is critical. We can use these things for good, we can use them for bad, and so much of it really stems from us and how we want to proceed with them.
In the context of Mastering Alchemy, where we spend, the whole essence of the tools and the body of work that I participate in is really about identifying me, is simply liking me, beginning to be conscious of me, mm-hmm. in terms of how I am, how I relate to the external world, but much more so my own capability in growing myself. And that space we're very much in is when I can begin to discern between what is it that is mine and what is not mine. The context of putting that in is I walk around with a set of emotions, a set of beliefs, of thoughts that I hold. And one of the things that as you begin to define yourself in what is mine, you start to realize that, or what I've watched in many people, is most of the thoughts that you hold and most of the beliefs that you hold are not yours. Most of the thoughts you think are not yours. They are in the ethers, if you would. They're passing through you all the time. Somebody says it's going to rain tomorrow. You hear it. 10 minutes later, somebody asks you, what's the weather going to be like? And you say with great authority, it's going to rain tomorrow. And this process of not knowing who I am in this process we're moving through, this movement of moving through this transition, is something that is disruptive in terms of the process. I think the positive part of this is there is in these waves of light that are transforming us, that are the waves behind the Kalaman story that you can only get to so far in intellectually understanding, and then there's a much bigger game that's going on, experience that's going on. There is a whole transformation that is happening very positively, that is very much moving us out of that state of being that has been dominated by control and fear and duality, separation, those type of words. And there's a part of me as I watch this technology and the place where we're getting down to as we're just talking into these little sound bites becoming our story of the day, to a great extent there is another aspect of we are eliminating a lot of the attention points that we have been holding on to that have really held us pretty tightly. Fear in historical terms or in genetic terms or in lineage terms, nationality, ethnicity, religions that go back a long way that basically say, this is all I am. Trying to unravel yourself from a very fundamental religious belief, for example, or nationality or ethnicity that says, this is all I am, is a really challenging unraveling. And this transition is, to a great extent, creating a somewhat of a loss of identity with those realities, these little sound bites in technology. They may look uncomfortable, they may be, we may think that what's happening to our world is there's something going on that's challenging. But on a positive side, I'm really watching that identity of self that is very much vested in the external world,
yes.
What they say, yeah. I am, is also the part that's being dismantled. So where we talked a few minutes ago about kids, people are losing their self-identity in these media short blips of directing, here's how life works and this is what it is. I think from a controlling standpoint and even a conspiratorial standpoint, I use that word loosely here because there are no conspiracies. It's so blatantly out in the open that there's nothing that the conspiracy about it, there's nothing hidden behind the scenery. If you just kind of move the curtains apart, it's all right there to be seen. But the flip side on a spiritual, on an energetic, on a human evolution side is that the structure of who I have been told I am is also breaking down. So that loss of identity to a person, a kid, for example, that doesn't know who he is or who she is right now, is not so much of a threat, I don't believe, going forward from a positive standpoint, because there's this internal alignment that actually has never been lost, can't be lost. That sense of your own identity in the heart is very real to everybody, but we have moved away from it. What's in the process of happening with a lot of this technological shift, and I don't mean in terms of physical devices, I mean in terms of a technology of consciousness, that there is a sense of awareness that's being recreated in the essence of the individual, that's starting to see 60 million people being displaced out of their homes is not okay. There's something wrong with that. There's something internally that is beginning to be relit, rewiring, a reawareness, a remembering that we're all one. And when one suffers, all suffer in the larger scheme of this event. But it's actually going to even a higher level. There is aspects of this where you and I talk about technology and the aspect of this mass computation, this artificial intelligence, this superconductivity, these new constructs of mathematics in terms of computations that are happening. It's beyond the ability of the human being to think or compete with artificial intelligence. The human brain and rational mind, as we understand it right now, cannot compete with artificial intelligence. That's being said by Jack Ma, it's being said by people at Alibaba, at Google, at IBM, and they're not saying it from a dominating the human is going to be taken over by the machine. What they're saying is there is technology available to complement your life in a way that much of the challenges can go away. But the piece that's being missed by them is the understanding of, or at least glimpsing of, consciousness. And in this aspect of consciousness that I'm paying attention to, the soul thinks as you are watching artificial intelligence think in computers. The nature of the transition of computational processing of thought, of analytical development, is really very much the next evolution of the brain in relationship to how the soul and the higher mind integrate into a higher dimensional state of awareness that is all about gratitude and well-being and appreciation and all is one in a evolution sense. It's really stunning, however, we're in transition and some assembly is required to move from point A to point B.
Absolutely. You know, the sense that I've been getting is, I think, for the past few years, and I'm not just going to hang this on the election, I'm going back to 2012 as well. So much has happened so fast. You know, to smash the mirror of reality, if you like, that people have become numbed, as you said, and they are, but now they're going into a space where it almost seems they've been forced to come back to themselves. And for a while there is a kind of a void in there, You know, it's like I'm not quite sure what there is in here. And a lot of people are feeling like they've got nothing to say. They're not quite, they're in transition, you know. They know what they've come from and they know that isn't them, but they're not quite sure what they're going to and what is them. So it's almost like they're trying to fit back into their body and become familiar with it.
Yes, yes. In right now, literally right at this point where we're speaking, there is this pause, and these pauses are going to happen more and more in the future. It's as if the wave just came in and the wave moved out, but the next wave has not moved in yet, so there's a pause. And one of the things that happens, and I'll relate it to a larger picture. Let me start with people who play, like where I play in Masculine Alchemy. When you begin to recognize that I'm okay, and when you begin to recognize that I am in the world but not of the world, meaning I am here and I can observe what's going on out there, but I'm not necessarily having to be driven by it. And when you begin to recognize that many of the things that I've been told really aren't my truth, the ability to start to allow that nature of thought and where all that thought came from to fall away becomes very available. You start to recognize when you move back into the heart space, I'm okay, I like me. Everything that's lesser than that is now beginning to fall away because it wasn't yours. That thought, I'm not okay, came from somebody else and you just held on to it and tried to figure it out, of which you've never been successful, figuring out why I'm not okay. And as those thoughts begin to fall away, and this is what's in the process of happening to everybody, as those thoughts fall away, the ability to start to recognize myself begins to happen in a way that one of the words that people use is, I'm getting bored. I'm feeling bored. I've lost interest in my job, my hobbies, my food doesn't taste the same to me. What's happening is a lot is being cleaned out of the system when one begins to look to themselves and recognize, I'm okay. I never believed that which I was told in the first place. I never fit in. I've always been hiding from, and I'm now choosing to stop hiding from. As that begins to happen, this word boredom comes up. And it's a very interesting word because it's not so much boredom, it's beginning to access these fields of awareness in these levels of consciousness that you intimately know but have not been visiting for a long time. And those fields of consciousness, they don't speak in English and French and Spanish. They don't even speak in words. They speak in knowingness. They speak in awareness. They speak in, oh, that's how I'm going to do it, that light bulb thought that goes off every once in a while. And it's in this boredom that really is this huge, quiet evolution of awareness that is beginning to be activated in the minds of humanity. And it's really a stunning thing that's happening. It's easy to see boredom as nothing's working from a third dimensional perspective, from a I need the world to help me be okay. But when you begin to be okay and recognize I'm starting to become conscious of being conscious, then there's something really quite magnificent that's starting to happen.
You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with international teacher, speaker, author, and founder of Mastering Alchemy, Jim Self. We're talking about where humanity is at right now, how we got here, and how we can navigate the future with grace, ease, and success. We'll be back with more from Jim Self after this break.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras, a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life, a sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com, M-E-T-T-A, mindfulnessmusic.com.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Jim Self, this program's going far too fast to get in everything that I want to say. Before we talk about the future and how we can navigate that with grace and ease and some of your great tips for doing that, I want to just briefly reference the TED Talk that you directed my attention to, given by Shohoni Groves, the quantum physicist and equity advocate, talking about quantum computing. And we don't have too much time to go into that. I mean, you can explain it if you want to, and then I'll tell you something that I got from it.
So this aspect of quantum computing is outside of the reality of virtually everybody. But what we know about computing, for example, is in simple terms, ones and zeros. And it's the method of computing is based on ones and zeros. It's either on and off or off and on. And that one and zero creates all of the language of computing. But what's beginning to happen is that this aspect of quantum computing is starting to access consciousness. And at any given one moment in consciousness, all things are possible. There is no right or wrong answer. It is simply, if you wish it to be this way, collective consciousness will present it to you that way. If you wish it to be another way, you will wind up having access to it that way. So this aspect of you as a consciousness basically as capable of simply holding your attention on a thought, and that thought will manifest into a reality. Now, that's something that's been said for eons of time, but we are literally moving to that point in this conscious evolution to where you're going to just think apple, and as you're thinking it, holding out your hand, and the apple will appear. This quantum computing and quantum uncertainty, as they're calling it, is something that basically allows all things to be possible at any given one time. And it's how the soul thinks, it's how consciousness thinks. And so you're watching this conscious process of moving into the physical form beginning to occur in a way that it can be integrated into the physical form. It's absolutely stunning. It's off in the future for the mass consciousness, but you're watching the perception of the brain and how the brain thinks and processes information being presented in technological terms, and then it's going to be much more integrated into the physiology of the body. It's amazing.
It is. And listening to her speak, what came to me, bearing in mind what I said earlier, you know, we are not separate from any of it. You know, it informs us, we inform it. But she said at one point, quantum bits have fluid non-binary identity, which can exist in a superposition or combination of zero and one, and it can be either. Identity is on a spectrum. That immediately took my mind to conversations I've been having with other people about the new kids, and especially the young adults, many of whom are describing themselves as non-binary. They don't want their sexuality to be fixed. They regard themselves as fluid in every way.
Correct. There's your thinking. There's your awareness.
Yeah.
And it's coming in the new generations. It's not, it's changeable in you and me. I mean, it is, you and I are not like the old dog with no tricks. We have the capacity to make those changes. But these new kids come in wired in that format. And they're the ones that are going to evolve this world going forward into what we are dreaming it to be today, in terms of what is possible.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're getting, you know, we're seeing the evidence of that all around us, in our technology, in the kids, in everything. So let's talk about navigating the future and how we can step into a new landscape, what we need to be paying attention to.
Well, I watch how to, in navigating yourself, many people simply deal with where I am today and hope I'm going to be someplace I desire tomorrow or the next year. And then tomorrow they think about it again, and then tomorrow they think about it again. And to a great extent, it's all hope I get there. But one of the things about navigating the future from this consciousness that's being available is, in present time, all things are possible. When you think in terms of linear time, third dimensional time, you wind up playing in this line of past and future. And to a great extent, the attention goes to what I want out there, but we don't create it from the only place that we can create it, which is right now, right here. So one of the things that is very helpful in terms of beginning to navigate the future is this concept of planning backwards. And that's not a new concept, but there is a new twist to it if you begin to pay attention to yourself. And so in a year from now, I would like to be in Hawaii, and I would like to be on a vacation, and I would like to stay in this hotel, and I would like to eat at this restaurant, and they've told me that this meal is really good. And so what the average person does is start to say, that's where I want to go, and we hold our attention on it and we begin to work towards it. But in this context of where we're beginning to play now, the ability to be in two places at one time, now keep this simple, becomes very available to you consciously. So if I said to you, close your eyes and remember what tasting a key lime pie tastes like, or something that's got a very distinct taste to it. And if you're sitting there right now, you're right here in the chair, but if I say, remember a taste, you'll remember the taste. And if I say, now, right now, begin to have that taste in your mouth. Feel the sourness of the lemons and the sweetness of the pie. And so right now I'm having an experience based on a memory. But if you reverse it and basically say, I'm going to be sitting in this restaurant, I've never been there. I'm going to be sitting in a restaurant on a balcony at a hotel overlooking the ocean in the sunset and smelling the air. If I basically take myself and put myself in that future position and sit there right now in that future moment, I'm doing the same thing that I'm doing with drawing a memory into my awareness right now. And so if you begin to say, yes, this is the view I want, this is the smell I want, this is the feeling, most importantly, that I want to be relaxed, I want to be enjoying myself, create the feeling, create the thought, add to it the smells and the sights and the sounds, if you can do that, and be there. It's not going out of the body, it's not projecting into a future, it's being in that experience. That basically makes it very tangible in the moment to then hold on to the, that's where I'm navigating myself into the future. It could be as simple as a job, a relationship, a new place to live, but it's in this place of having an identity with that future, even though you've never been there, that is going to start to allow that future to come to you. It's not that you are going to the future is coming to you. And it's a very different way of perceiving, just as quantum computing is an absolutely different way of understanding computational process. But this particular being able to have the future come to you. See, everything comes to you. You don't move through time. Time and space move through you. And beginning to entertain that it comes to me begins to be a very different and a rapidly successful vehicle to creation that we're all going to begin to understand more so. In regard to the kids, they know how to do this.
Yeah, that is very, very powerful. You know, I've used it in NLP and hypnotherapy, and it really does make a huge difference. Is this what you would term anchoring intentions?
Oh, absolutely. You basically begin to have, you have identity with the concept, with the texture of the event that you wish to experience. And one of the things, it begins to take out the doubt. Well, I'm not sure I can do it. I don't know if I have enough money. Oh, it'll be nice, but that's something in my future someday. All of those thoughts are the thoughts that dissipate the anchoring process. If you can just begin to recognize, I'm pulling this to me. And you don't move. You just know it's coming. You allow it to come. It's an amazing process of success that also winds up often presenting additional, and oh, by the way, you can have this along with that. And you get kind of fascinated. But it's really clear, I don't move. Everything comes to me. And that's a concept that is a very altering concept to the transition of humanity to this point.
Well, Jim, it's been a fascinating conversation. We have about a minute left. I wish we could cram a lot more in, but we can't. So let's use this minute. Tell us what you're doing right now.
Right now, I'm sitting on a beach in Belize enjoying the
There you go. It just came to you, didn't it?
Yes, and it's been sitting here. It's quite nice. But it, literally, that's an example. And so it was really clear. I don't want to sit in the North American winter. I really want to sit and do the same work I do from a place that is more along these lines. And so over the last couple of years, holding that thought, this whole aspect of Belize and this condominium and this piece of property and the belief that the internet works most of the time, to be able to have this kind of a call. I could do that from the cold, or I could do that from the beach.
Yeah.
That's the mindset. And it's not better than, or, oh, you need a lot of money, because it all works if you just hold your attention on and allow it to come to you.
Well, people can read a lot more about what you do, how to do it all, in your book, A Course in Mastering Alchemy. And of course, they can go to your website and attend your free webinars, read your free articles, watch your free videos, and maybe even sign up for A Course in Mastering Alchemy themselves. Jim Self, thank you for joining me today.
Sandy, as always, it's my pleasure.
Bye, Jim. Jim Self's new book, A Course in Mastering Alchemy, is published by Watkins and is available from his website and wherever good books are sold. And if you're new to Jim's work, you might also want to check out his book, What Do You Mean the Third Dimension is Going Away? More of everything Jim Self at MasteringAlchemy.com. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. Thank you for being with me today, and I'll be with you again at the same time next week.